Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the Murder Tape Chronicles. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present Paper Sons, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, The Raid. I never heard the knock. No warning, no distant shuffle of boots against pavement, no whispers in the alley. Just the sudden, deafening explosion of wood splintering as the door caved in. FBI. Hands where we can see them. The whole room froze. The smell of ink, fresh glue, and cigarette smoke still hung in the air. Then, the shouting began. Chaos erupted. Metal chairs scraped across the floor, printers whined as stacks of fake visas got knocked over, and the roar of boots storming the place swallowed everything. The walls seemed to shake with the weight of the agents pouring inside, barking commands, slamming bodies to the ground. I didn't move, at first. The seconds stretched like taffy, slow and sticky. My mind was trying to catch up. How? How the fuck did they know? This wasn't some two-bit operation. We had layers of protection, people in our pocket, coded messages. We ran the most sophisticated counterfeit passport ring in Chinatown. The only way this happened was if someone inside gave us up. I gritted my teeth. A rat. My hands twitched toward the Glock under the steel work table in front of me, hidden beneath a scattered pile of green cards still drying. My body screamed at me to grab it. Fight. But what then? This wasn't a street brawl. There were at least 20 agents, more flooding in from the back. No way out. Across the room, Chun was the first to go down. They threw him to the ground so hard his forehead bounced off the concrete. His wife's voice shrieked from the office behind the main work floor, raw with terror. Papers flew as one of the younger guys, Zhou, tried to run. A mistake. The agents took him down mid-step, slamming him into a table of freshly printed visas. A heavy hand clamped on my shoulder. Don't move. Fuck. Before I could turn, they yanked me back. My knees hit the cold floor, rough hands locking my wrists behind me. The zip ties bit into my skin, cutting off circulation fast. I gritted my teeth, trying to keep my breathing even. Stay calm. Stay sharp. If I lost my head now, I was done. But then I saw him. Jason Wong. He stood just beyond the wave of dark blue windbreakers, hovering near the entrance like he wasn't sure where to put his hands. His fingers curled into nervous fists, eyes darting around the room. But he wouldn't meet mine. I felt it like a gunshot to the gut. Jason had been my friend, my brother. We grew up together. We ate at the same noodle shops, skipped class to smoke in the alley behind Grand Street. We built this empire together, brick by brick. He was the one I trusted to handle pickups, to move cash, to keep his fucking mouth shut. And yet, there he was, standing with them. I couldn't move, couldn't breathe. Blood pounded in my skull, a violent drumbeat. You sold us out, I whispered, though I knew he couldn't hear me. Jason swallowed hard. He knew. The agent pressing me down spoke into his radio. We got another one, bringing him in. They started dragging me toward the front, shoving me forward like I was a piece of cargo instead of a man. I barely felt the rough hands on me. I barely heard the voices shouting orders. All I could see was Jason Wong, standing there like a deer in headlights, pretending he hadn't just destroyed everything we built. And in that moment, I knew. I wasn't going to prison. Not today. Not ever. A heartbeat later, I moved. The thing about cuffs, zip ties specifically, is that they aren't made for guys like me. A little trick I learned back in the day. Angle your wrists, keep them loose, and when the moment comes, snap. It wasn't quiet. The plastic ties broke with a sharp crack. The agent holding me barely had time to register what happened before I threw my weight back into him. He stumbled, and I twisted, driving my elbow into his ribs. Hard. He gasped, wind knocked clean out of him, and I didn't wait for him to recover. I bolted. Shouts exploded behind me. He's running. A gun cocked. I hit the ground before the bullet could find me, rolling under the nearest work table. A printer toppled, crashing to the floor. My fingers scrambled for the Glock I knew was there, but before I could grab it, a foot slammed down onto my wrist. Don't even think about it, the agent growled. I looked up. He was a mean-looking bastard, built like a linebacker, the barrel of his Glock inches from my face. Fuck. On your feet, he barked, grabbing me by the collar and hauling me up. I didn't struggle this time. I let them yank me to my feet, shove me forward, past the wreckage of our entire operation. Chun was still on the ground, bleeding from the temple. Zhou had his face pressed against the concrete, a knee jammed between his shoulder blades. I caught a glimpse of Uncle Wu, the old man who handled our supply chain, shaking as they pulled him away. It was over. Jason had killed us. The air outside was sharp and cold. Flashing blue and red lights painted the alley walls. Black SUVs lined the curb, doors open like gaping mouths ready to swallow us whole. The agent behind me shoved me toward one of them, but I didn't take another step. I turned my head just slightly, just enough to meet Jason's eyes as he stood near the lead car, arms crossed over his chest. You're dead, I mouthed. Jason flinched. He tried to hide it, but I saw. Good. They threw me into the back of the SUV, the door slamming shut behind me. My reflection stared back at me from the tinted window, eyes dark, jaw clenched, blood smeared on my temple from the scuffle inside. I wasn't done. Jason Wong had put a bullet in our operation, but I was going to put a knife in him. One way or another, I was getting out of this car. And when I did, I was coming for him. Blood for betrayal. That was the rule. And I was going to fucking enjoy it. Chapter 2 Blood Oaths. The car ride felt like it lasted a lifetime. I sat in the back of the SUV, wrists still red from the zip ties, body tense as the city blurred past through the tinted glass. The flashing reds and blues had disappeared, but the siren still rang in my ears, mixing with the rapid-fire thoughts crashing against my skull. Jason Wong. The fucking traitor. I replayed the scene in my head, over and over. The way he stood there, hovering behind the feds, fists clenched at his sides like he was holding onto some shred of guilt. But he wouldn't look at me. That told me everything I needed to know. He had sold us out. He had sold me out. The rage sat heavy in my gut, simmering, waiting. I kept my face still, my breathing even. But inside, I was already cutting his throat. You got a lot of nerve, kid, the agent driving muttered, his voice thick with something close to amusement. Breaking out of cuffs like that. You think you're in a movie? I didn't answer. Just kept my eyes on the city rolling past. Timing is everything. I was waiting for the right moment. You know how much trouble you're in? The agent next to me shifted, one hand resting lazily near his sidearm. This wasn't just some street-level scam you were running. Passport fraud, human trafficking connections, RICO charges. That's some serious time, kid. You should start thinking about flipping. Might be the only way you. I moved before he could finish. I'd been waiting for it. The car slowed at a light. The driver was focused on some asshole jaywalking. The agent next to me had let his guard down. Bad fucking move. I drove my elbow into his throat, sharp, fast. He choked, hands flying up instinctively. That was all I needed. I grabbed the gun from his holster before he could, twisting it in my grip as I swung my leg up, kicking the door handle with enough force to send it flying open. The driver cursed, reaching for his weapon, but I was already moving. I hit the pavement hard, my body rolling as the SUV screeched to a stop. Hands in the air. Fuck that. I bolted. Chinatown was a blur of neon lights and rain-slicked pavement. The streets were alive, hustlers, vendors, drunks stumbling out of bars, kids laughing as they dodged through the crowds. I kept my head down, my breath tight in my chest, slipping through the maze of bodies as shouts rang out behind me. I cut down Pell Street, vaulted over a row of crates outside a seafood shop, and slipped into an alley barely wide enough to fit two men side by side. Garbage bags stacked against the brick walls. The smell of piss and old oil clung to the air. My lungs burned, my legs ached, but I didn't stop. I knew where I had to go. The tea house was nearly empty when I slipped inside. Red lanterns hung from the ceiling, swaying slightly with the hum of the old ventilation system. The scent of jasmine and roasted duck lingered in the air, a familiar comfort in the middle of the storm. The old man sat in the back room, exactly where I knew he'd be. My father. A legend. A ghost. The last real Lao Ban of Chinatown. He had built this empire before I was even born, brick by brick, blood by blood. And now? Now he was an old king with no throne. His hands rested on the arm of his chair, wrinkled but still strong. His eyes, dark, unreadable, flicked up when I stepped inside. He took in the bruises on my face, the way my hands curled into fists, the blood smeared along my sleeve. I didn't have to say a word. "Tell me everything," he murmured in Cantonese. I did. I told him about the raid. About the arrests. About Jason Wong standing with the feds, looking like he had swallowed a mouthful of glass. When I finished, the silence stretched thick between us. The only sound was the slow drip of tea into the porcelain cup in front of him. Then finally, he spoke. "We let a rat into the house." His voice was even. Cold. Like he was stating a simple fact, nothing more. I nodded. He picked up his teacup, took a long sip. Then he looked at me, really looked at me, as if he was searching for something in my face. "You know what must be done," he said. I swallowed. My throat was dry. "Yes, father." The old rules were simple. You betray the family, you pay in blood. Jason had broken an oath, spat on everything we built. There was no coming back from that. I walked out of the tea house into the cold night, my hands curled tight at my sides. Jason Wong was a dead man, and I was going to be the one to kill him. Chapter 3, The Hunt. I didn't sleep. I didn't eat. The moment I left the tea house, I was already working. Every minute Jason Wong was breathing was an insult, a reminder that he had torn our world apart. I could still see him in my head, standing there in the warehouse, pretending he hadn't just slit our throats from the inside. Betrayal like that doesn't go unanswered. Chinatown had rules. The old ways weren't just folklore, they were the spine of everything we built. You take care of your own. You don't snitch. You don't bite the hand that fed you. And if you do, you pay in blood. I started at the noodle shop. Jason's family ran it for decades. A hole-in-the-wall spot on Mott Street where the broth had been simmering for so long the recipe was practically in the walls. His father, Mr. Wong, was old now, blind in one eye slow-moving. He sat by the door like always, smoking a thin cigarette, watching the world pass by through a haze of tobacco. When I stepped inside, the air smelled like chili oil and beef bones. The place was quiet. Late-night stragglers, a couple of old men hunched over bowls of soup, steam curling around their faces. Jason's mother worked the counter. Her hands were dusted in flour from making dumplings, her sleeves rolled up to her elbows. She didn't look up right away when I approached. "Long time," I said in Cantonese. She froze. Then slowly she lifted her eyes. I could see it in them. The same thing I saw in Jason's face that night. Guilt. She knew why I was here. "I don't know where he is," she said. I let the words sit in the air for a moment. Then I leaned in, resting my hands on the counter. My voice was quiet when I spoke. "I think you do." Her fingers tightened around the dough. She didn't flinch, didn't look away. But her hands shook just a little. That was all I needed. I gave her a slow nod. "Tell him," I murmured. "I'm coming." Then I turned and walked out. Jason was hiding, but he wasn't a ghost. I had Li Chong working the streets, shaking down the night market boys, slipping a few bills to the street vendors who saw everything. Chinatown was a village disguised as a city. Nobody could disappear completely. 2 days passed. Then I got the call. "He's in Flushing," Li Chong said. "Basement apartment. Address is on your phone." I hung up, and I started driving. It was past midnight by the time I reached the address. Flushing was different from Chinatown. Newer money, bigger buildings. But the heartbeat was the same. Men playing mahjong in smoky backrooms, dumpling spots still packed even this late, girls standing outside karaoke bars waiting for their rides. I parked 3 blocks away. I wasn't stupid. Jason might be scared, but fear makes people dangerous. I didn't know if he had a gun, if he had people with him, if the feds had planted him somewhere, hoping I'd take the bait. Didn't matter. I was going in. The basement apartment had a rusted metal door, dented from years of abuse. The window above it was covered in old newspapers. A bad sign. That meant Jason didn't want anyone looking inside. I stepped up to the door, pressing my back against the wall. Listened. Nothing. Then movement. A floorboard creaked. Soft, but there. I slid the knife from my sleeve. One deep breath. Then I knocked. Nothing at first. Then footsteps. A pause. The lock clicked. The door opened a crack. Jason's face appeared in the sliver of darkness. He looked like shit. Eyes sunken, hair greasy, shadows bruised under his lids. He hadn't shaved. He was thinner. Like he had been running. And now, he had nowhere left to go. The second his brain caught up to what was happening, his eyes went wide. He tried to slam the door shut. I kicked it open. It crashed inward, knocking him back. He stumbled, hitting the floor. I was inside before he could recover. Jason scrambled backward, hands up, eyes darting toward something on the floor, a metal baseball bat. I stepped on it before he could grab it. "Don't," I warned. His chest rose and fell fast. Sweat beaded along his forehead. "Please," he choked out. "Listen, man, just listen." I crouched down, my knife cold against his cheek. "You sold us out," I said. His breath hitched. He didn't deny it. I pressed the blade harder, just enough for him to feel it. "How much?" I asked. "How much did they pay you to burn everything down?" Jason swallowed hard. He was shaking now, his pulse jumping at his throat. His lips parted. He was going to lie, to beg, to make excuses. But I didn't care about excuses. I cared about revenge. Jason started to sob. It was pathetic. "They were going to take us down anyway," he gasped. "You don't get it, man. They had everything. The bank records, the shipments, the accounts. We were done. I just, he swallowed hard. "I just wanted out." I exhaled through my nose. A cold, humorless laugh. "Out," I echoed. "You don't get out, Jason." He sucked in a sharp breath. "You die out." The silence that followed stretched thick and heavy. Jason was trembling, his breath coming in shallow, panicked gasps. He knew what was coming. He tried to scramble away, but I grabbed him by the throat, pressing him down against the dirty floor. His hands clawed at mine, trying to break my grip. It was useless. I was stronger. I was angrier. His eyes bulged, red and desperate. He tried to speak, but all that came out was a choked rasp. "Jason," I murmured, pressing my forehead against his, voice steady. "You broke the rules." His body jerked beneath mine, fighting, but it was over. One quick, clean motion. The blade slid through flesh. Warm blood coated my hands. Jason's mouth opened in a silent scream. His body seized. Then it stopped. No more running. No more talking. No more Jason Wong. I wiped the blade clean on his shirt. The room was silent now, except for the slow, rhythmic drip of blood pooling onto the floor. I stood, my chest rising and falling, my heartbeat finally steady. It was done. I turned toward the door. And that's when I heard it. A noise. Soft. Barely there. Coming from outside the window. Someone had seen everything. Chapter 4. A Rat's Last Words. Blood pools fast when the cut is deep. Jason Wong lay on the floor, his body still twitching, his blood seeping into the cracks of the cheap tile. The knife in my hand was warm, slick. The room smelled like sweat, iron, and fear. But I wasn't alone. The noise outside the window had been small, almost nothing, a shuffle of feet, a caught breath. But in this world, almost nothing gets you killed. I moved fast. Pressed my back against the wall, staying low. The air in the basement apartment was thick, still. I could hear my own breathing. Could hear the drip, drip, drip of Jason's blood hitting the floor. And I could hear them. A person. Outside. Watching. The moment stretched. I gripped my knife, my body coiled tight. If they ran, I had maybe 5 seconds before they got too far. If they were smart, they'd freeze, stay hidden, hope I walked away. I wasn't walking away. I waited one heartbeat. Two. Then I lunged for the door. The alley was narrow, barely wide enough for a person to slip through sideways. Trash bags stacked high, the stench of rotting food and piss thick in the damp night air. A shadow moved. I was on them in an instant. Small. Light. Not a fighter. A sharp gasp escaped their lips as I slammed them against the wall, my forearm pinning their throat. The knife in my other hand flashed under the streetlight. "Who the fuck are you?" I growled. The figure trembled. A woman. Young. I squinted. Recognition hit me like a punch to the ribs. May. Jason's younger sister. Fuck. She had grown since I last saw her. Taller, leaner, but still had that same nervous energy, like she was always one step away from running. Her black hair stuck to her cheeks, her eyes wide with terror. "You killed him," she whispered, her voice raw, shaking. I pressed the knife against her jaw. "You tell anyone?" She shook her head so fast it looked like she might snap it off. "No. I swear. I." She swallowed hard, her breath hitching. "I followed him here. I thought," her voice cracked. "I thought I could convince him to leave the city." I searched her face. She wasn't lying. I eased the pressure, just a little. "Why?" She licked her lips. Her hands trembled at her sides, but she didn't try to fight. "Because I knew," she said softly. "I knew what was going to happen." I studied her. "Jason never told you what he did he?" She flinched, looking away. "You knew he was in trouble," I murmured, watching her closely. "But you didn't know why." She didn't answer. That was all I needed. She wasn't a threat, but she was a loose end. My grip tightened on the knife. She saw it. Her breath hitched. "Please," she whispered. I hesitated. A mistake. The second I let my guard slip, she moved. Fast. Her knee came up, hitting me in the ribs. Not enough to hurt, but enough to make me lose balance. She twisted out of my grip, stumbling back, breath ragged. She was going to run. Fuck. I grabbed her wrist before she could bolt, yanking her toward me, spinning her around so her back was to my chest. The knife hovered just under her ribs. "Don't," I warned. She stiffened. Her breath came in sharp, shuddering gasps. "Please," she whispered. "I won't say anything." "I." "You already saw too much," I murmured. The silence stretched. She wasn't stupid. She knew what was coming. But then, "Don't," she said, her voice suddenly steadier. "Because if you do, you'll never find out who really sold you out." The words stopped me cold. My grip on her wrist didn't loosen, but I didn't move. Didn't breathe. "What?" I murmured. May swallowed hard. "Jason didn't sell you out," she said, voice barely above a whisper. "Not alone." My pulse hammered in my ears. "Liar," I said. She shook her head. "He made a deal," she murmured. "But he wasn't the only one. He was forced into it. He was already dead the moment the feds showed up. He knew it." I clenched my jaw. "Bullshit." "I saw the messages," she pushed. "I saw the texts, the burner numbers. He tried to back out. He was scared. But there was someone else on the inside. Someone who wanted the feds to take you down." The rage in my gut shifted, twisting into something colder. The warehouse. The precision of the raid. The way they knew exactly when and where to strike. Jason was an idiot. A coward. A rat. But he wasn't smart enough to pull this off alone. I stared at May. She was breathing fast, her pulse a frantic flutter against my grip. But her eyes were steady. She wasn't lying. Which meant, there was another traitor. The knife in my hand felt heavier. I let out a slow breath. My heart was still racing, but my mind was clearer now. If Jason hadn't been the only rat, that meant someone else was out there. Watching. Waiting. Laughing to themselves, thinking they had pulled the perfect con. But I wasn't in a cell. I wasn't dead. And now. Now I knew the game wasn't over. I exhaled through my nose, releasing May's wrist. She stumbled back, rubbing the red mark where I had gripped her too hard. "Leave the city," I said, my voice quiet. She nodded fast. Then she ran. I watched her disappear into the night, my jaw tight, my pulse steady. Then I turned and walked into the dark. There was a traitor still out there. And I was going to find them. One way or another. Chapter 5, The Last Sun Stands. A traitor still walked among us. That realization settled inside me like a slow-burning fire. An ember that refused to die. Jason Wong had been a rat, but not the only one. Someone else had wanted the feds to tear us apart, to bury us. Someone on the inside. And if they thought they had won, if they thought they could live another day smiling, shaking hands, collecting their cut while the rest of us bled, they were dead wrong. A shadow in the tea house. The old tea house was quiet when I walked in. The late night crowd had thinned, leaving only the regulars, old men hunched over cups of hot tea, muttering about the past, the weight of history pressing down on them like a heavy quilt. I stepped into the back room. My father's room. The smell of jasmine and aged wood filled the air. The incense had burned out, leaving only a thin wisp of smoke curling toward the ceiling. He was seated in his usual chair, back straight, fingers laced together. A man who had once ruled these streets. Now he just looked tired. He didn't look up at first. Just stared at the table, at the untouched cup of tea in front of him. "You did it," he finally murmured. I didn't answer, because I knew he wasn't talking about Jason. His fingers tapped once against the wooden table. The sound was soft, barely there. A whisper of movement. Then he spoke again. It was Han, the other traitor. Han. My stomach twisted. Han had been with us since the beginning. A soldier, a brother. He handled the pickups, the drop-offs, the money. If Jason had been the fool who cut a deal, Han had been the one pulling the strings. It made sense. He was the only one who had access to the real numbers, the shipments, the bribes paid out to keep the feds off our backs. And if someone inside had set us up, it had to be someone who knew how to cover their tracks. Han had always been careful. Always been smart. I should have seen it sooner. I clenched my fists. "Where is he?" My father finally looked at me. His gaze was sharp, assessing. "He's expecting you," he said simply. The Final Confrontation. Han's safe house was on the outskirts of Chinatown, a luxury condo wrapped in glass, a place for people who thought they had made it. I took the elevator to the top floor. The moment the doors opened, I knew I had walked into a setup. Two men stood near the window, hands in their pockets, watching me the way wolves watch an injured deer. Han sat on the couch, a glass of whiskey in his hand. His suit was crisp, dark blue, tailored perfectly. His Rolex gleamed under the soft lighting. "Brother," he said, smiling. "You look like shit." "I didn't sit." "You knew," I said, my voice even. His smile didn't waver. "Knew what?" "Jason," I said. "You let him take the fall. You used him as bait while you made your real deal with the feds." Han chuckled, swirling the whiskey in his glass. Jason was an idiot. A scared little boy who thought he could outsmart the world. I gave him an easy way out. He just wasn't smart enough to take it. I exhaled through my nose. My fingers twitched at my sides. "You sold us out," I murmured. Han's smile faded. "No," he said, leaning forward. "I evolved." A slow breath. A shift in the room. "I saw the writing on the wall," Han continued. "The game was changing. The feds were always going to come for us. I just made sure I was on the winning side." I stared at him. "You cut a deal," I said. He nodded, unfazed. "And what?" I continued. "You think they're going to let you walk? You think the feds are going to trust you?" Han's jaw tightened, just a little. I saw the crack. The tiniest sliver of doubt in his armor. But then he leaned back, exhaling. "It doesn't matter," he said. "Because you won't be alive to see it." I saw the flicker of movement in my peripheral. The two men near the window moved. I moved faster. The end of a bloodline. The first man reached for his gun. I closed the distance in two steps. My knife was already in my hand. One deep cut across his throat. Blood sprayed across the glass window. The second man lunged, but I spun, using the first body as a shield. The gun went off, a sharp explosion in the tight space. The bullet buried itself in the first man's shoulder. I kicked the second man's knee out. He went down with a shout. Then I drove my knife into his ribcage. He gurgled, twitched, went still. Han was already on his feet, backing away, reaching for something inside his jacket. I didn't give him the chance. I lunged, tackling him to the ground. His whiskey glass shattered, shards of crystal scattering across the floor. His hand flew to my throat, fingers digging in, but I didn't let go. I pressed the knife against his gut. We locked eyes. "You think you won?" I murmured. Han gritted his teeth. "You don't get it, do you?" he rasped. I leaned in. "Then explain it to me." Han's lips curled. Blood smeared his teeth. "They were always going to burn the old world down," he whispered. "I just made sure I wasn't in it when it happened." I searched his face. And for the first time in my life, I saw fear in Han's eyes. Not fear of me. Fear of whoever was pulling his strings. He had never been in control. And that realization made my decision for me. I tightened my grip. And I drove the knife home. Han gasped. His body jerked once. Then he went still. The last sun stands. The city stretched out beyond the floor-to-ceiling windows, glittering like a promise. I wiped my blade clean, stepped over the bodies, walked out the door. I didn't look back. The past was dead. The old rules were gone. The world was changing, and I wasn't going to sit back and let it happen. I was going to own it. The end.